Welcome to Sociology Sorted, your go-to revision podcast for OCR GCSE Sociology. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important and fascinating topics on the specification, social control and punishment. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode is going to give you everything you need. We'll cover the core concepts, the key theories, exam tips, and finish with a quick fire quiz. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. Why does society need social control at all? Think about it. We live in a world with millions of people, all with different wants, needs, and ideas. Without some kind of system to keep behavior in check, things would quickly fall apart. Social control is simply the set of mechanisms, processes, and social arrangements that regulate individual and group behavior in society. It's how society encourages people to conform to norms and values and discourages deviance. Now, here's a crucial distinction that examiners absolutely love to test: the difference between formal and informal social control. Formal social control refers to the official, legally backed systems that regulate behavior. Think of the police, the courts, the prison system, and government legislation. These are the agencies with the legal authority to punish rule breakers. Informal social control, on the other hand, operates through social pressure, expectations, and everyday interactions. The family, peer groups, schools, religion, and the media all exert informal control. They don't have the power to arrest you, but they can reward conformity and punish deviance through things like praise, gossip, exclusion, or disapproval. Let's talk about sanctions. A sanction is any response to behavior that either encourages or discourages it. Positive sanctions are rewards. A parent praising a child for good behavior, a teacher giving a merit badge, society celebrating a hero. Negative sanctions are punishments: a fine, a prison sentence, being grounded by your parents, or being excluded from a friendship group. The key point for your exam is to always link the sanction to the specific agency responsible. Don't just say, "people get punished." Say, "the family uses negative informal sanctions such as grounding to discourage deviant behavior in children." That precision is what gets you marks. Now let's move into the theoretical perspectives, because this is where you can really impress examiners and access those top band marks. First up, functionalism. Functionalists like Emile Durkheim argue that social control is essential for maintaining social order and solidarity. Durkheim famously argued that crime and deviance actually serve a positive function in society. They help define the boundaries of acceptable behavior. When someone breaks the rules and is publicly punished, it reinforces the shared norms and values of the community. This is called boundary maintenance. Durkheim also argued that a certain level of deviance is inevitable and even necessary. It can drive social change. Think about how civil rights activists were once considered deviant, but ultimately changed society for the better. For functionalists, the criminal justice system, the police, courts, and prisons, serves to maintain value consensus and social solidarity. Everyone agrees on the rules, and the system enforces them for the good of all. Now let's look at Marxism. Marxists take a very different view. For Marxists like Louis Althusser, social control is not about maintaining shared values. It's about maintaining the power of the ruling class. Althusser identified two key mechanisms: the repressive state apparatus, which includes the police, army, and prisons, institutions that control people through force or the threat of force, and the ideological state apparatus, which includes education, religion, and the media, institutions that control people's minds by spreading ruling class ideology. The idea is that the working class is kept in line not just through punishment, but through being taught to accept the system as natural and fair. Antonio Gramsci developed this further with the concept of hegemony, the idea that the ruling class maintains dominance through cultural and ideological leadership, not just brute force. From a Marxist perspective, laws tend to protect the interests of the wealthy. White-collar crime, crimes committed by the powerful, is often treated more leniently than street crime committed by the working class. This reflects the class bias built into the system. Third, let's consider feminism. Feminist sociologists argue that social control operates to maintain patriarchy, a system of male dominance. Sandra Walklate, a key feminist criminologist, argues that the criminal justice system has historically been designed by men, for men, and often fails women, particularly victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. Feminists point out that informal social control is particularly powerful in regulating women's behavior. women face social pressure to conform to gender norms to be caring, passive, and domestic. When women deviate from these expectations, they face harsher social judgment than men who behave similarly. This is sometimes called the double deviance thesis. A woman who commits a crime is judged both for breaking the law and for breaking gender norms. Feminist research also highlights how fear of crime, particularly male violence, acts as a form of social control that restricts women's freedom, for example, avoiding going out alone at night. Now let's think about punishment specifically. The criminal justice system uses several forms of punishment, and examiners want you to evaluate their effectiveness, not just describe them. Prison is the most well-known form of punishment. It aims to deter, incapacitate, punish, and rehabilitate offenders. However, the evidence on effectiveness is mixed. The reoffending rate in England and Wales is around 25% within 1 year of release, suggesting that prison often fails to rehabilitate. Community service, by contrast, keeps offenders in society, allows them to make reparation, and may be more effective at addressing the root causes of crime. Restorative justice, where offenders meet their victims and work to repair the harm done, has shown promising results in reducing reoffending. From a functionalist perspective, punishment serves to reinforce social norms. From a Marxist perspective, the prison system disproportionately incarcerates the working class and ethnic minorities, reflecting structural inequalities. From a feminist perspective, the system has historically been slow to take crimes against women seriously. Let me give you a key named example to use in your exam. The 1984 Police and Criminal Evidence Act, known as PACE, is a formal piece of legislation that governs how the police can exercise their powers of stop and search, arrest, and detention. Sociologists have noted that stop and search powers have been disproportionately used against young Black men, which Marxist and critical race theorists argue reflects institutional racism within formal social control. This is a brilliant example to use when discussing the limitations of formal control or when applying a Marxist or critical perspective. Another excellent named study, Stanley Cohen's concept of moral panic, developed in his 1972 work Folk Devils and Moral Panics. Cohen studied how the media and social control agencies responded to the mods and rockers conflicts in the 1960s. He argued that the media exaggerated and sensationalized the threat, creating a moral panic that led to disproportionate formal control responses. This is a fantastic example for discussing the role of the media as an informal agency of social control that can also trigger formal control responses. Now, let's move into exam tips and common mistakes. This is crucial stuff. Common mistake number one: confusing crime with deviance. Crime is behavior that breaks the law. Deviance is behavior that breaks social norms. Not all crime is deviant. Speeding is technically illegal, but widely accepted. And not all deviance is criminal. Wearing unusual clothes is deviant, but not illegal. Always be precise about what you mean. Common mistake number two: describing sanctions without linking them to a specific agency. Don't just say, "People face negative sanctions." Say, "The family, as an informal agency of social control, uses negative sanctions such as grounding or withdrawal of privileges to discourage deviant behavior in children." That specificity earns marks. Common mistake number three: using common sense arguments instead of sociological ones. Don't say, "Prison is boring, so it doesn't work." Say, "The high reoffending rate of approximately 25% within 1 year of release suggests that prison fails in its rehabilitative function, as argued by critics of the retributive approach to punishment." For your 12-mark essay questions, use the PERC structure for each paragraph. Point: state your argument clearly. Explain: develop it with sociological reasoning. Refer: bring in a theorist, study, or named example. Critique: challenge or evaluate the point. A top-band answer will present at least two contrasting theoretical perspectives and reach a clear, justified conclusion. Remember the command words. Describe means give two developed features with supporting detail. Explain means give multiple reasons with sociological reasoning. Discuss means present contrasting views and evaluate them. How far do you agree? Means argue both sides and reach a clear judgment. Time management matters. Allocate roughly 1 minute per mark. Don't spend 15 minutes on a 4-mark question and leave yourself rushing the 12-mark essay. Plan your longer answers before you write them. Even a 30-second bullet point plan will improve your structure. Now let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Question 1. What is the difference between formal and informal social control? Think. Formal control is exercised by official, legally backed agencies like the police and courts. Informal control is exercised through social pressure by agencies like the family, peers, and media. Question 2. Name 2 positive and 2 negative sanctions. Think. Positive: praise, rewards, promotion, celebration. Negative: fines, imprisonment, grounding, social exclusion. Question 3. What did Durkheim mean by boundary maintenance? Think. Durkheim argued that punishing deviance publicly reinforces shared norms and values, reminding society of the boundaries of acceptable behavior. Question 4. What is Althusser's repressive state apparatus? Think. The RSA refers to institutions like the police, army, and prisons that control behavior through force or the threat of force, as opposed to the ideological state apparatus, which controls through ideas. Question 5. What is the double deviance thesis? Think. The idea that women who commit crimes are judged twice, once for breaking the law and again for breaking gender norms about how women should behave. Brilliant work if you got those. If you struggled, go back and review those sections. They're high-frequency exam topics. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key points from today. Social control is the set of mechanisms society uses to encourage conformity and discourage deviance. It operates through formal agencies, police, courts, prisons, and informal agencies, family, education, peers, media, religion. Sanctions can be positive rewards or negative punishments, and must always be linked to the specific agency using them. Functionalists see social control as maintaining value consensus and social solidarity for the benefit of all. Marxists argue it serves ruling class interests and maintains capitalist inequality. Feminists highlight how social control enforces patriarchal gender norms and often fails women. Punishment strategies include prison, community service, and restorative justice. And examiners want you to evaluate their effectiveness sociologically, not just describe them. And remember, always use the PERC structure, always name your theorists, and always reach a clear conclusion in your essays. That's it for today's episode of Sociology Sorted. You've got this. Go revise those key terms, practice those essay structures, and walk into that exam room with confidence. Good luck.